As long as I have a child that is requesting prayer, I'm willing to pray for him.
How does it feel to be the new American Idol?
I don't know.
My job right now is just to make sure that everybody in the Gulf understands.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. We take you through the looking glass every night into the reality. We take you into the unreality to find the reality. Lakers winners tonight over the Phoenix Suns, 103-101. Ron Artest scored at the buzzer in the ballgame. 877-876-FILL, the number. We're staying with our guest, Art Griego. Plus, still to come tonight, as you'd like to hear him, Simon Cowell will be with us. 877-876-PHIL, and of course our website, philhenryshow.com. Right now you can watch live streaming video as well as listen to live streaming audio of the show. You can download the show completely tomorrow on our site. You can listen to archivable, in fact, you can download the shows in our archives back several years. Now you have to understand, as a matter of fact, the big announcement I want to make to you tonight, and maybe I should have waited till the last hour, but the 2001 archives have been located, and they are going on the site. 2001, the entire year. Problem? They're on DAT tape. Digital audio tape. So that's going to be a... I'll explain that later on. Art Griego back with us here as we talk about the story here of this young woman. Her name is Ginger McGuire. She was traveling from Detroit, Michigan to Philadelphia, and she wound up falling asleep upon the aircraft. This was the aircraft that was traveling from, I believe it was Washington, to Philadelphia. She fell asleep. It's not a very long flight, as a matter of fact. The flight left, she didn't leave Washington for Philadelphia until 11:40. She got into Philadelphia at 12:30. So that's nothing, man. That's like a 50-minute flight. What happened was she had fallen asleep and she was left on board the aircraft. No one knew she was there. She wakes up and she spends 4 hours on the aircraft, 4 hours before a cleaning crew finds her. And they reported the TSA, Art.
Well, I don't want to second guess that cleaning crew. They did exactly what is called for.
No, I'm not doing that either.
Well, you have been falling over yourself, and again, Phil, I thank you for having me on the program. It sounds to me like you've been, and I think your listeners will agree with me, you've been falling all over yourself trying to defend this lady.
No, I'm not falling all over. I think what I'm saying is you're telling me that that woman was left aboard that aircraft because the flight attendants felt neglected by her.
Yes.
That the flight attendants felt that this Ginger McGuire, because she fell asleep as soon as she got on the plane, didn't care about them, or somehow was sending the message she doesn't care that whether they live or die, I think is the way you put it?
Yes.
So that when the plane landed, the flight attendants naturally, either subconsciously or consciously, didn't even know she existed?
I think the flight attendants had made up their minds, if this woman thinks I'm a waste of space, what do you think about an overweight woman like her?
And you don't even know that she's overweight.
I've seen the picture on your website.
Well, you can look, and I asked my listeners to go to the website, take a look at Ginger McGuire. I don't think she looks overweight at all.
I think you're being polite because you're a talk show host, and you don't want anyone to think you don't want anyone to think you're a horse's ass.
No, that's not it at all.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Henry, the point that I am making here, if this woman is left to sleep on this aircraft because the flight attendants feel neglected, because the flight attendants are insulted, or because we've got a lot of children on board, because we have a lot of, and here comes the magic word, elderly travelers, or because we've got a lot of people who Homeland Security wants you to keep an eye on, you're going to leave the Ginger McGuire's of the world to their own devices. This girl could have died. Let's be honest. This girl could have been on board that aircraft for a long enough period whereby she might have fainted as a result of no food. I'm giving her that. Because if I said what I really think is the case, I don't think there's any chance of her dying because she didn't have food. I don't think that...
You really want her to be fat.
I am speaking on behalf of flight attendants when I say when someone that size gets on your aircraft, the first thing that comes to mind is safety, and then you realize they're ignoring you, and then you realize, well, all right, if that person doesn't care whether they get off this aircraft safely or not, if they are stuck or wedged or however you want to...
All right, so, all right, 877-876-PHIL. So in other words, what you're saying to me is the flight attendants look at her, she doesn't pay any attention to them, so they don't care whether she lives or dies, and now you're saying because she's, over in your mind, overweight, the flight attendants figure, well, she's probably a safety hazard anyway.
If you have to crawl over something that's, well, you don't want me to say it.
Crawl over what?
If you've got to crawl over something that size.
877-876-PHIL. And again, we do not have any indication the girl is overweight.
I said that her name sounded fat. That's
877, there's no such thing. 877-876-PHIL. On to some phone calls here. Lindsay in Nashville, Tennessee. Lindsay, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Sir. Hi. Well,
yes.
I agree.
Hi.
I agree with him a little bit. I hate to say it, but I do. It is the airline's
Thank
fault
you.
For leaving the lady on the airplane.
Absolutely.
I don't believe it
Absolutely.
Was...
Absolutely.
Well, I don't believe that it was intentionally... I mean, I don't think it was intentionally. I just believe that they didn't do their job and check the plane and check the restroom, regardless if she was sitting, sleeping, or in the bathroom hiding.
And why, didn't
their...
they do that? And why didn't they do that?
Well, they didn't do their job, obviously.
No, that's ridiculous. If you say they didn't do their job, it's like saying, why didn't the fireman turn the hose on the fire? He didn't do his job. Well, there's a reason why he wouldn't do something so obvious, and we have to find out what that is. And,
well,
I say it's because of the fact that this woman fell asleep and didn't so much as pay attention. Well, what is your reason? See,
I believe that they were in a hurry.
Yeah.
They left, and I don't think that they have their... stuff straight. I think that they need to make sure that they check the plane for security reasons. It could have been anyone on the plane.
I have the feeling that this woman called up just to laugh at me.
What do you mean by that?
Well, she doesn't have a good reason. Listen, you see, she doesn't have a good reason. When I give my reason, she laughs at me.
I'm not laughing.
If I were on a lifeboat with
your
you,
reason, okay,
Lindsay,
your reason,
if I were on a lifeboat with you, Lindsay,
on the plane,
and I was bailing water, and you sat in the bow of the boat laughing at me while I'm bailing the water out of the lifeboat, I'd pick you up and throw you into the ocean.
All right, let's talk to Lindsay.
Yes, I would, because if we're trying to bail water out of a sinking boat, and you're sitting in the bow doing your nails and giggling,
Lindsay, give me you were going to say something.
No, I mean, obviously, no matter what, if she's obese or not, they shouldn't have left her on the plane. The question is, do the flight attendants, is that their job to check the plane, or do you have a cleaning crew 4 hours later come in, and that's when they check the plane out? I mean, what's the responsibility of the flight attendant? Is she supposed to check?
What do you mean a cleaning crew?
A cleaning crew.
Oh.
To clean the airplane.
Right. But, again... you bring up fat. Why do you keep bringing this up?
You introduced it into the conversation, saying the girl was overweight, so she immediately fell asleep because she doesn't have energy. Her blood pressure is off.
Yeah, but I'm not.
And another point I'd like to
true.
Make, I don't think that the flight attendants would obviously, I don't think that they would be upset that she ignored them if she did, because that's one less person they'd have to deal with.
That's a very, very good point.
It's a
Who
good
cares?
Point
you know,
amateur.
That's one person they would
very.
Have to not talk to.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a good point to you, Mr. Hendry, because you're not a professional. I'll tell you why it matters. Flight attendants go through life. They're rock stars when they're on the aircraft. When they're off the aircraft, they're just another person. When they're on the aircraft, everyone wants to know them, meet them, and you know what. So when you ignore a flight attendant, especially when you're large and a female, it's like saying, I'm better looking than you, when you know that, when they know, see what I'm saying?
No, I don't. It sounds
no,
absurd.
I want one more thing. I want to have one more thing.
All right, Lindsay, I got a break. I got a break, though. I appreciate your call.
You
Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL.
Boy, did you cut her off.
We are in the middle of going to a break.
Yeah, but she was, I'd like to say, and you went 877. So, see, the rudeness, Phil, is not all on my end of this. You know, the rudeness, you know, the if you will, the doo-doo isn't all on my end of the stick. Hello?
Art, I am listening to what you're saying. I'm responding to things you say that make sense. But what you're saying now sounds jackass. You know what I mean?
No, I do not know what you mean. You cut that lady off.
I'm running a radio show here, and I have to know when to break and when not to break. And I got to keep the buses rolling on time here, as well as think about what to say, as well as talk to you, as well as get my callers on the air, as well as make sure that we are conversant and literate and informative about the topic. God. My end of the stick isn't the only one with doo-doo on it. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here with Art Griego as we continue talking about Ginger McGuire, the passenger who was locked in an empty plane for several, many, many hours. She is now suing United Airlines. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Phil, and our website, philhendryshow.com, where right now we have live streaming video of our show, so you can watch us as we perform the show, as well as listen to it and download the show tomorrow. Download all of the current shows that we're doing here, the Phil Hendry Show. And right now, Art Griego continues with us as we talk about this young lady, Ginger McGuire, 36 years of age, nearly spent 4 hours on a plane after United Express Flight 8080 landed after she was discovered by a cleaning crew, according to the complaint filed in Wayne County Circuit Court. Wayne County is Detroit, is it not?
Yes, it is. I guess she's filing the complaint in at the origination point of her journey. She landed in Philadelphia. But I want to get back to this thing where you and I are talking, and you seem to be, people seem to agree with you and think that you're okay because you're making all these statements about this girl and how she's not fat and she's not unattractive and she didn't pass gas, and yet there's no reason why you can think of her.
Well, I told you, maybe it's a security thing. Maybe she was trying to hide.
Oh, come on. What is she hiding from?
I don't know. You know,
what I've been hearing here, Mr. Hendry, for an hour and a half is I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And when I say to you that I have the reason, I get the end of the stick with the fecal matter on it. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I've heard that line, all right, and that's great, and I know it's from Dirty Harry.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. Dirty Harry, he always gets the blank end of the stick.
Well, I changed it, didn't I?
877-876-PHIL.
Well, didn't I?
Yes, you changed it. But the fact of the matter remains that the airline has a lot to answer for.
And I'm saying they do.
But you're saying the reason why is because the flight attendants have too many babies to deal with, too many old people to deal with, and get offended because she ignored them. Let's go over to Melissa here on the Phil Hendry Show. She's a former flight attendant. Melissa, hi. Well, wait a minute. I just locked Melissa's line.
Hello, no,
Melissa.
I'm here. Oh, hi, how
hi.
Are you?
Welcome to the show. Good.
Hi.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, I was just to make a point. I'm a former airline employee, and it's actually mandated by the FAA that the flight attendants, before they deboard that plane, to make sure that all the passengers are off that aircraft safely. It's their responsibility. Yes, it's really a security issue.
Right.
The question is, why did they do this?
Why did they do this? Are you going to tell me that they couldn't see her? Mr. Hendry and I have disagreed on this, but if you look at the picture of this woman...
She's not fat. No, she's not fat. Yeah. Go ahead and look at her, a picture of her. She's on my website right now at philhendryshow.com.
Okay, she's not
well,
fat.
Well, I have a point to make. I was trained very well by Delta Airlines, and if she was doing her job...
Okay.
which is heightened security, she would have not missed her. If it was a child of 3 years of age, she would have got that passenger off the plane.
So then the question is, why didn't she do her job? As a flight attendant, yes or no? As a flight attendant, yes or no? Don't you get offended when the passengers ignore you?
No.
Oh, man.
I was a flight attendant for 2 years.
They're saying no because they're on your show, Mr. Henry.
Why don't you just believe people when they say what they're saying?
Some people say no, Melissa. Have personality issues and may get upset if you don't look at them and comment them. You know, some people may be like that. But they have a job to do, and that's what's the most important.
Exactly. But if they don't do the job, we have to find out why they didn't do the job, Melissa. Now, was this girl trying to hide? I don't think so. Was it because the flight attendants were paying too much attention to the elderly passengers? I think we have an issue there. I think there are far too many infirm passengers. Are we doing too much in terms of, do we have to look at the guy with the turban and make sure that he's not going to blow the plane up? And meanwhile, a girl falls asleep and she's left for 4 hours.
I think the most important issue is to find out why did she not do her job and how could this have happened and how to prevent it.
Oh,
what measures this airline can take.
What do you mean, oh, my God?
Well, I've been on your program for an hour and a half giving the reason, and nobody's listening to me?
Yeah,
we're listening to you.
She was fat. And
no,
they said, let the whale sit and find her own way.
I'm simply saying the flight attendant gives her a pleasant, looks at this woman who has fallen asleep without so much as a, hi, how you guys doing?
I have a better objective. How about the flight attendant was more worried about what she's going to do when she gets off work and forget about looking on the plane and just leave her there? Maybe the flight attendant did four legs that day and she's worked 7 days straight where she wasn't supposed to, where operations shouldn't have scheduled her, and she
wanted to hit
the road.
No, that's too by the book. You think too linear. You've got to start thinking creatively. Because everybody can say, oh, I'm tired. Now they got an excuse. No, this has more to do with a flight attendant looking at a woman that would, you know, in a normal circumstance, that woman outweighs her by 60 pounds, and yet she's getting all the love laying there. And
oh, come on. So you're saying the flight attendant is upset because some fat woman, she's got to serve her?
Yeah, and also save her life.
I think the more important issue would be the investigation and how this happened and what they're going to do to prevent this in the future, because we have minor children that are flying all around the world.
So you don't think that a thin, attractive flight attendant would resent having to save a fat woman's life?
What are you talking about?
I'm asking the question.
No, I don't. I think that's being shallow. I'm sorry to say that. I'm not trying to get personal, but I think that's very shallow thinking.
For instance, you, Melissa, you sound slender. This girl's name is Ginger. She sounds large. You wouldn't resent...
All right, thank you very much, Melissa.
Okay, thank you.
So you're cutting me?
Yeah, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Talking here with Art Griego and...
Wait a minute. You cut me off.
You're going to ask her, would you mind saving a fat girl's life? 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to John on Long Island. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey,
you heard him say that people have personality issues.
How you doing, John? Good to talk to you.
You heard her say personality issues.
Yes, sir.
Well, so my point was just, you know, even if we were to accept Art's explanation as actually being the, you know, what happened, what exactly is his point then? Are we supposed to just, you know, condone the flight attendant's actions and say, oh, well, okay.
No, not at all. We have to train them. We have to train them in terms of their psychology and their approach to passengers much better. We have to train them not to be so petty. We have to train them that it's not just a fashion show. It's not a meet and greet. They're not there to, model the new flight attendant uniforms. They're there to save lives. Yes, even women who outweigh them and who ordinarily, you wouldn't pay any attention to.
Okay, so you're saying, so you agree then that, you know, no matter what the explanation is for the flight attendant's actions, that what she did was wrong and we should not condone it or accept it, right?
I'm saying I understand their actions, though. You know, I can understand it. Because as I said, if you got some passenger laying there, not paying attention to you, and they think that they're just going to take a nap and ignore you?
Okay,
I direct your attention to Fatal Attraction when Glenn Close said to Michael Douglas, I'm not just going to be ignored. Well, it's the same thing with a flight attendant. Otherwise, you'll find something boiling in a pot, all right. Don't worry about it.
Well, what does that mean?
Out of time.
Phil Hendry.
Out of time.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we're going to be talking, as you like to hear him, Simon Cowell, on his leaving American Idol. And we'll also be hearing about the new American Idol champion, Lee DeWise. And I suppose we'll be talking about who is going to be the next, host of the show and all that jazz. It's coming up in a few minutes, as you like to hear them. Meaning, we're going to be interviewing Simon Cowell, but he'll be talking and answering questions as if he were honest, right? And it's not just Simon. When we do the As You Like to Hear Them interviews, we do them with all kinds of celebrities, all male and female, very, very famous to the very minute. And when they are interviewed by us, we ask very direct questions, and they actually answer truthfully. So I think you'll enjoy it. Coming up in a few minutes. A couple of things we wanted to get to yesterday that we were not able to. But first, I guess I should run through. There's been some important news, and I know that we are going to have Cowell, and then we have coming up Robert Greene to talk to us about this new mountain resort. But there's been other news that I just wanted to touch on briefly here. First of all, the U.S. House and Senate Committee approved amendments to a military bill today, Thursday, that would repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy barring openly gay and lesbian soldiers from military service, but only after some conditions are met. Now, among those conditions it's a report from the military on what the effects of this would be in the military. And it was particularly welcomed by Senator Robert Byrd. For instance, Byrd will, and he's one of those old school guys. He may be a Democrat, but he's still old school. And he's not about to let gays in the military unless he can be assured that the military itself is cool with it. Now, understand that we went through something similar after World War II. It was the integration of the armed forces, black and white soldiers. I've never been able to understand, personally, I've never been able to understand how it is people wonder, well, I don't know, do you think it's going to work? Gee, you have guys that are called generals and sergeants and
colonels and stuff too.
Right. And those are the guys that tell you what to do.
Well, you're saying that they're going to order you to march down a road with a gay. How can they do, how man do that? You're going to feel comfortable about that.
You know, Robert, you're black.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that they integrated the armed forces.
Yeah, they integrated the armed forces. They told the white crackers, you can either like it or lump it, Jack. You don't like, marching with a black guy? Get your ass out of the army. Get your ass out of the armed forces of the United States. We don't need you here.
Yeah, you're going to say the same thing? You're going to make me serve with a gay man?
If you were in the military, no, I wouldn't make you serve with a gay man. I would say, oh, you don't like it? Well, I tell you what you do there, Robert. Pack your bags, get the hell out.
How are you going to tell a man that?
I'm the general. I say what goes.
What do you mean you're the general? You say, yeah, you better, a gay guy is going to kiss you.
Are you an idiot or something? Who said that I'm going to ask him to do that?
What are you saying? I got to march down, and I'm not saying he has to kiss me, but if I'm like, what am I going to do, take a shower with a guy and all that stuff?
If I'm the general and I say, all right, you gay guys, you straight guys, you guys are going to do this and you're going to do that. You're going to jump this high and you're going to jump that low. You're going to dig this ditch and you're going to build that wall. You're going to attack that mountain and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And if any of you guys don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to get court-martialed, you're going to go to prison, you're going to have a dishonorable discharge. You understand?
All right, yeah, but what if the guy in a shower with me.
I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to say to the gay guy, you go into the shower, you take a shower. And if anybody ain't just taking showers, their asses are kicked out.
Oh, man, that ain't going to work.
Well, then that's what I'm saying to you, Robert. That's what you guys don't understand. If you're bugged about it, get out, man. Get out of the armed forces. Get out of the military. Get out. Because you obviously have a personality problem. You got a sickness. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. You people.
That's exactly what I'm saying it is.
That isn't fair.
I don't give a damn whether you think it's fair or not. The same thing happened in the 40s when they said we're going to integrate the armed forces and all the white, a lot of these crackers, I don't want to, The guy said, he said, well, this is the way it's going to be. What do you think? We're taking a vote on this?
Well,
not voting on it. And these people, with all due respect to some of the military people I talked to, you ain't got nothing to say about it. They're going to come back with the report. If the report says it's all good and that every American can serve, including gay guys, well, I guess you're just going to have to accept it. Now, if you got a problem with that, do everybody a favor, including yourself, and resign your commission or whatever the hell you do and get the hell out of the military. Plain and simple.
Nobody will want to be in the military. We only have one guy.
Yeah, that's right, bud. Nobody?
Nobody.
Yeah, no, gay guys will.
Yeah, okay, then we'll have all gay.
What's that going to do?
Well, I'd rather have an all-gay military than have no guys at all. And if that's what it comes down to, if the only people serving are gay people and they're protecting this country, I'll tell you what, if that happens, all of these dumbass straights, all these bigots, you're going to owe gay people your lives then. You want that to happen? The only people going to serve are gay people because the straights don't want to serve because they're afraid they're going to, you know, wake up and the guy's going to be on you, which is ridiculous.
They said that happened.
Those were two gay dudes that got caught fooling around, and they got, you know, disciplined. It's not some gay dude jumping some straight guy.
Well, how do you know?
Yeah, that's right, bud. That's what he did. A gay guy decided, gee, I think what I'll do is I'll attack this guy while he's sleeping, get the crap kicked out of me, right, and then also get, you know, like thrown in the brig, and then get discharged. That sounds like a lot of fun. I think I'd like to do that.
Didn't they kick his butt?
No. You want to know why? Because they were two gay guys. All right, anyway, you guys drive me nuts with your bullcrap. You know that? All right, look. 5 ways to drink tequila, and oh my God, can I use this right now, by Judy, who the hell are these people, man?
They're a guy from the Chicago Tribune.
5 ways to drink tequila, by Judy and Hugo Espinoza. Well, let's just check this out. This ought to be, you know... Now, dig this. They're already my favorite people, because guess what they say? Con sangrita. That is with sangrita. If you watch our weekend video casts, and I know we haven't done any for a while because we were in the Grenadines, and then last weekend we got all messed up, but we will continue our weekend video cast this weekend. You know that we did a video cast, 2 video casts, showing you how to drink tequila with sangrita. A shot of tequila sipped with a shot of sangrita. And now, they say it is a chili hot tomato citrus juice. No, it ain't chili hot. It's got a little bit of a tang. It's not that hot. It does have there is a tomato citrus tang to it. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And as a matter of fact, I like to drink it straight. I drink it on the rocks. It's fantastic. So you drink that with tequila. You can drink it solo. Choose a good tequila, maybe an aged, an añejo. And sip post-dinner as you might a nice brandy. See, these guys are saying all the stuff that I've already taught you. You sip tequila like a brandy. There's another one called Bandera. This version lines up 3 shot glasses, 1 with tequila, 1 with reddish sangrita, and a 3rd with a greenish juice of the key lime, which are the colors of the Mexican flag. Oh, will you get out of here?
That's ridiculous. You're reading it like it's serious, too.
Jesus. Although, you know, I was in Mexico once. I had a drink called a lima juice, right?
Yeah.
I said to the guy, I was at breakfast. I said to the guy, this is the greatest thing I've ever had. It really was. It was a lime juice, but there was no citrus. There was no citrus acidic flavor to it. You know you're drinking orange juice. You know you're drinking lemonade. That acidic, that citric acid tang, this was a lime-flavored drink with none of that. Almost the way a watermelon goes down. You know, a watermelon is a fruit, but it's got none of that. It's all water, and it seems like it's all water and sugar, watermelon, right? This was like it was all water and sugar, only flavored lime, and it was a juice. So I said to this guy, what is this? Lima juice. It was a Mexican guy. It's a lima juice.
I said, you mean a lime?
No, no. Not a lime. I said, it's not a lemon. No, that's a limon. And not a lime, which is something else. This is a lime. I said, well, what is it? It's, he says, I can't explain. I said, so I grabbed him and I pinned him to the table. I said, oh, if you're lying. No, I didn't say it. I said, well, what? You can't? No. And I haven't had it since.
That's lime drink.
Yeah. No, it wasn't lime drink because I know what a lime drink is.
Well, what's Lima?
It's
the capital of Peru.
Get out of here, man. I don't know what it is. It's a drink. It's a juice. It's something. It tasted really good. The other way you can drink it is Submarino, basically a shot of tequila with a beer chaser. Sometimes a shot of tequila is inverted inside the beer mug. So when you drink the beer, the shot glass tips a little, letting tequila escape into the beer. Inverted? What the hell are you people taught? Now you're really flipping your lid there, Judy. And here is one called Coscorón. This translates as knock on the head. Here's why. Add a bit of lemon-lime soda and a few drops of key lime, limon. Well, that's it. That's what?
That's what it is. It's key limon or limon. Or it's key limon, yeah.
No, it ain't key limon. They call key lime limon. I'm telling you, somebody's going to die. It's some kind of a drink. Maybe that's what it is, key lime. I've had key lime, too. Anyway, here's why. Add a bit of lemon-lime soda and a few drops of key lime to a shot of tequila. Then with your hand covering the top of the shot glass, tap gently, please, the glass on the table and drink it down. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't understand that. Is this for, like, it's...
It's not to me like it. Tequila drinking for retards.
Yeah, maybe it's for retards.
Would you watch the retard thing, okay?
Sorry.
But it sounds like it's tequila drinking for idiots, so I'll put it that way. Anyway, there you go. That's five. Nah, actually, all in all, it's a very good article. Very good article in the Chicago Tribune. Judy Hevdredge and Hugo something or other.
You want to see it?
I know what it says, but I'm joking. Espinoza. Don't always be grabbing stuff, okay?
Well, then you don't grab.
What do you mean? I don't grab anything. What am I grabbing?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a very good article, although I have to tell you, the bandera with, you know, lining up the color. I love Mexico. It's a great country, but I don't need to be drinking my tequila with the colors of the Mexican flag. I want something going on, you know, that I like. I like the tequila. I like the sangrita. You can take the key lime and you know, limon it. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we've got an interview, as you like to hear him, with Simon Cowell on this. The days following his retirement from American Idol, and what a run it's been. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Time now for As You Like to Hear Them, which is an interview conducted by me and featuring some of the big newsmakers of the day. And with us, a very, very special guest here on As You Like to Hear Them, Simon Cowell from last evening's... Was it last night, Simon?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. I just...
Yeah, it was Jace. Anyway, we will hear this guy, Lee DeWise.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you remember these people?
You know what, Phil? It's an interesting thing. People will say, do you remember this? Do you remember that? I don't really remember. And one of the reasons is we see so many of these kids. But
what about Susan Boyle? Do you remember her?
Well, I remember Susan Boyle because it was such a phenomenal thing. You know, I remember her. And there's a few. Kelly Clarkson, who was our first here in the United States. But I don't remember 90% of them. That fat... You remember the fat one, that fat black? The fat black.
Who?
What do you mean, who? What is that?
You mean the second guy?
Yeah, Reuben Stoddard, that was the guy. I remember Reuben, and I remember Kelly, but I don't remember any of the others. And that gay, I forget who that guy was.
Guano or...
Guano?
What was his name?
Clay Aiken, that was it.
Who was the guy with the name Guano?
wasn't it? It was the kid that came in second to.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
The Kelly Clarkson. It was Justin Galamny or something. I can't remember. See, that's the thing. We do so many of these, or we did so many of them, that you forget half of these people. Because here's the thing. We have to have a winner. You know that. I know that. The audience knows that. The network knows it. The opposing networks know it. The advertisers know it. There isn't a soul on earth. There's not. I don't even think there are animals that don't know. I think dogs and cats know that we have to have a winner. Well, because we have to have a winner, does that mean the winner is any good? If you got to have a winner, it's the odds are that at least one or two of them is going to stink. Oh, man, you can't believe the smell. Right?
Okay.
So
you don't remember all of them because they're not all great.
No, they're not all great, no.
Which ones were great?
Well, none of them were great. I mean, if you mean in terms of...
No. I mean, in terms of where they originated from, where they started and where they got to. I'm not trying to say that they're Michael Crawford or you know, Pavarotti, but which ones were great, relatively speaking?
Well, relatively speaking, you got to say that Susan was good, if not great. Relatively speaking, you got to say that the Clay. You got to say that Ruben. But I think Carrie Underwood and Kelly Clarkson, I think that they were, relatively speaking, great. And Carrie Underwood and Kelly have sold a lot of albums, you know. But the rest of them I don't remember. I mean, it's like I could ask you, and forgive me, Phil, but you remember every girl you ever went to bed with?
Yes, I do, and I don't want to go into that.
Well, that was very short.
Well, it's a very insulting question.
You know, I got to tell you something. I'm happy I'm leaving this country.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, Simon. We're not all as acerbic as you.
I'm not acerbic. I came over here from Britain. I came over to the UK. You want to know why I came here? Do you think I wanted to come here? They asked me to bring my show. Britain's Got Talent. It was a great show. And we had box office numbers, and we were kicking ass, right?
Yeah.
So somebody over at this network says, oh, well, we'd like to have that in America. Because nobody in America, you know, they don't come up with original programming in America anymore. It's all from Britain. You know that. I know that. Cats and dogs know it, you know?
Yeah, cats and dogs, right.
Yeah. So I said, okay. So I came to the States, and I'll tell you talk about easy pickings. Wow. I've never made an easier dollar in my life. Never in my life. It was the easiest gig. I came over here. And it's almost as if, see, we used to joke in Britain, if we really had a money tree, what would we do with it? I came to the States, it's the closest thing to finding money trees growing everywhere.
What are you saying? Americans don't have taste?
No, I'm not saying Americans don't have taste. I didn't say that at all. I think Americans like music. But what I am saying is Americans are suckers for this game show thing. And really, that's at the end of the day what it was. I came over to the United States with a very glamorous, highly... very polished, very highly stylized and well-produced game show. That's what it is. We have a game show. And you watch the game show until there's a winner. And I can tell you, when we started it in the UK, it didn't take off near as fast as it did here. Because in the UK, we're used to talent shows and some guy riding a bicycle around a stage. We have the history of what we call music hall. And you called it vaudeville.
Yeah.
And so in music hall, I mean, that's where Charlie Chaplin came from. We've got a history in the UK of some real cornball to get our laughs. You know, we get our cookies over there. Some guy can stand on a box. You know this as well as I do, Phil. Some guy stands on a box in Hyde Park and starts running his guts, and everyone thinks that's fantastic. And they stand there with pizza and coffee, and they think they're really having a night out. You can't sell that in the States. So in the States, what people want is they want the big game show. All right, so fine. So I took that format, brought it to the States, mounted a big-ass game show, and I'm telling you...
And it was. I know the success. Everybody knows the success of the show. It's a very compelling show. I got to ask you...
Don't ask me about the Paula Abdul, please. Please, in the name of God, don't.
Well, what is the problem?
Because, yes, I did... And I'm sorry that I did, and I'm still not over it, and I don't mean emotionally. And that's all I want to say.
Okay, well, now you've piqued my curiosity.
Well, I'm sorry I piqued your curiosity, but I've been asked about Paula Abdul, did you, didn't you, did you? And the answer is yes.
Do you love her?
The answer to that is no.
So the answer is yes to, all right. So,
yeah.
Well, what do you mean you haven't gotten over it?
I haven't gotten over it, but it's not the emotional that I haven't gotten over. I'm still suffering terribly from my relationship with Paula, and it's got nothing to do with emotions. Here, I'm Phil Hendry.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Well, you're... Now you do.
All right, well, Simon Cowell, Simon, the very best of luck to you.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to need it after this. I got to tell you something. I was very, very confident in the fact that... All right, well, goodbye.
Goodbye. Simon Cowell, ladies and gentlemen, on As You Like to Hear Them. He's still suffering from the breakup with Paula, and it ain't emotional.
Phil Hendry.